Welcome to Tennis Sucks. It's a pickleball podcast by Travis Rettenmeyer and Graham D'Amico. I can only do it with Travis's name in front, Graham. I already tried that time. It just didn't sound right.
I can only talk with my name in front of
the name as well. Happy Easter, everybody. Do you guys have plans for Easter?
I don't, as of yet.
Travis, tell us what you're holding here. The
sex offenders list here in St. Petersburg.
Why would you put that out there?
Because he looks like...
Because you know someone will listen to only like just that part. And then be like, Graham's a pedophile and a sex offender?
Are we going to get PC on this thing all of a sudden, Graham? Like, oh no, we can't say things.
I don't want someone to take it out of context listen to the rest of the pod.
I'm actually going to clip that one section.
Exactly. That's
going to
be a teaser.
And then I'm going to find another part and mix it in.
All right, disclaimer.
You're being ridiculous.
Disclaimer.
Soft right now.
Not a pedophile or a sex offender, even though on that paddle I look like one.
Yes, on this paddle you look like. I didn't even say it was you. I just said there was a pedophile on here that happens to be wearing a smash hat and somewhat resembles you. This is a paddle that a friend sent me that has a sticker on it, a skin on it that can be printed anything. And this is what I wanted. I wanted the Graham like this. And so I intend to at some point, it's not very busy this morning, but maybe tomorrow night, Crescent, just bring this thing out, see if people have as much disdain for Graham as I do and say, hey, $5, you can play one game and smash the shit out of Graham's face.
Does it count that the shirt that he's wearing would be an illegal color for the for playing with?
I actually drilled against him with that. He brought it out and surprised me with it. And it's shockingly distracting because every time he goes to hit the ball, I'm watching where it hits me on the face.
At first he was like not that impressed. And then he started hitting against. He's like, whoa, that's pretty cool.
It made me laugh a lot.
Yeah. That's awesome.
It's good stuff.
I would like it to see like a happy face on one side, a sad face on the other.
We can get that done.
Yeah.
Tell me what you need, Luke. I got you covered.
All right. So let's start this off. Graham, you and I were talking about this the other day. Questioning whether or not we maybe mentioned this once before about changing the name of the podcast, right?
Yeah, we have. We've a couple times.
I think we need to.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think we
you're do. In that boat.
I'm in that boat.
I think we're getting there.
I love our name, but yeah,
I love our
name
too.
Costing us. It's costing us sponsors and it's costing us guests.
I don't know about the sponsor portion, but guests for sure.
Well, no, we reached out to Swing Vision.
Oh.
And they obviously are a tennis company. And they're like,
do you want to sponsor my podcast? It's called Tennis Sucks.
Hey, Swing Vision.
You know what's funny is I actually listened to Serve yesterday, the Roddick podcast with Kim Clijsters on it as the guest. And he bashes Pickle left and right. You know, sees like it as a good rec sport. And that's cool. Like, I'm not necessarily sure I disagree with him on the professional front. But it was clear that us shitting on tennis while listening to that is not maybe the best idea. And I got to be honest, like, I do dislike a lot of tennis for myself, but in the last 5 months, I found myself watching a lot of it again. And although I will tell you this, I went to the Alcaraz-Dimitrov match in Miami, just a little small thing. I got a shitty seat, which I had never watched tennis from that vantage point. God, it was a terrible spectator sport. It was awful.
Huh. Damn.
Where
was your spot?
Fucking, we were on top row, man.
Oh,
I mean, it was insane.
Away.
Couldn't see a thing. And then the points were short, and I was like, God, this sucks.
And Alcaraz got smashed.
And he didn't play well. You know, but I guarantee you, like, I mean, Dimitrov played great. But with that said, like, I guarantee if we were court level and, you know, I would have enjoyed it more. But without that little negative anecdote I put in there, I have enjoyed watching tennis a lot more recently. And yes, the two should coexist happily. Mm. It just, you know, fucked me up for quite a few years as I became destroyed after all of my failures.
So we're putting out a call, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We'll start with Tennis Not So Bad podcast. And then
work our way.
Tennis getting better
something better. But yeah, if people have ideas, we really would like to know.
Yeah, the suckers out there, help us out. Yeah.
Help us out.
What's a great new name for our podcast?
Graham originally wanted Balls, if that helps you all at all.
You know, it's going to be a bunch of like, Graham sucks, Travis is an asshole. It's going to be, the names are going to be horrible.
All fair points. All fair points.
But Balls, I still like Balls. Sorry. With an exclamation point.
No argument. No argument. Let's go.
We know you like Balls. Look, there we go.
Man, you've been setting me up for those jokes for a while now, huh? All right. Well, apparently I see in the notes here that someone has a problem with us bringing a facility to St. Pete. What's going on? What's
Queens of the Court.
Who is that?
You know who they are.
Oh,
the only podcast probably more toxic than ours, right?
Yeah, like ours is toxic but fact-based. Theirs is toxic but just bullshit.
Has a problem with us building a indoor pickleball facility for the greatest pickleball community on the planet, St. Petersburg.
What problem is that?
I don't want to give it air, but they're building from new. They're ripping off their investors, bankrupting them.
Like, stole the idea from the pickler.
And that we stole the idea from the pickler.
It's a totally different one. And like, what, you fucking invented a pickleball facility? Get the fuck out of here, man.
Yeah, they're going to be like Chick-fil-A. They invented the chicken sandwich, these guys.
Wow.
But anyway, it's not a new build, Queens of the Court. It actually exists. It's 90,000 square foot building that already exists. So the investors are going to be very happy.
Yeah. All right. Cool.
As will the community.
And even more so the community.
Yeah.
We're ready for it.
Yeah, especially because it's getting really hot. So it would be nice to have somewhere to play inside right now. All right. So Miami Open. Travis, you went down to Miami to play a sort of showcase MLP event. Who else was there with you?
It's a big list. 16 people.
Wow.
Diescu, Anna Bright, Rachel Rohrabacher, Pablo Tejas, Federico Staxrud, Ignatovich, Martina Frantova, Michelle Esquivel.
There were more players than spectators.
Jesse Irvin. There were more players than spectators.
Wow.
Yeah, it was Eric Lang played great. It was a great idea. The concept was really good. It could have gone really well. But the way it was done, where we were kind of segmented off to the side, I think it was hard to get patrons to walk through and see it. And yeah, it just turned out that there just weren't a lot of people watching.
Yeah. That's tough.
Well, you had a better idea for how to do that.
Yes. I think when I was a kid, I used to do some like exhibitions between matches at events like that. And so in my opinion, which would have been much more cost effective. And I think the hard part is like, especially because there is this issue between tennis and pickleball, you're not going to maybe get a lot of patrons to walk to the pickleball. They're not going to go to a separate event, even if it's on the same grounds. That's unlikely. So you essentially have to bring pickleball to them. And, you know, this is in hindsight, of course, and everyone's trying their best, so I'm not trying to shit on anyone. But the best way to do it would simply have, you know, maybe four men, four women, and you get a pickle roll. The court doesn't have to be great. You take it every time between a match on center court, they have, you know, roughly a 20 to 30 minute gap between like a women's match and a men's match. Run the court out there, roll a net out there really quick and say, okay, guys, go. One game to 15, Diescu and Rohrabacher versus Bright and Rettenmeyer. Boom.
Yeah.
It's on.
The captivated audience is already there. You don't have to drum
exactly.
them up.
You don't have to market. You don't have to do anything. Yeah. You don't have to try to push them to a different area. They literally just get to sit there and be like, oh, shit, pickleball.
That seems to be very common sense. But maybe the Open wasn't up for that.
They might not have been. And I don't know the details of it. You know, I mean, James Blake is the tournament director. He's obviously an owner of an MLP team as well. So I think it could have been sold, but maybe there was some sponsor issue. I can't tell you. But it seems like if you're going to do an event at a tennis tournament, then you have to somehow bring the pickleball to the patrons who are already sitting and settled. Yeah. You can't anticipate that they are going to come to you and sit in the sun.
How would you have enjoyed watching pickleball from your vantage point at the stadium?
It would not have been good. I'm not yet entirely sold as pickle being a great professional product. Like I don't know if that's the case yet.
Yeah.
It does great in like a couple thousand.
Yeah. I think so.
It was fun at that level. So but Kleister said at 20,000, what's it look like?
Yeah, Kleister said on the Serve podcast that like she has a difficult time watching on TV. She finds it boring. And some of that part was like the broadcasts generally aren't great. She feels like it's rushed and she doesn't know what's going on or the people, the information. But she said, live, I love it. Like she's like, I'm always really excited when I'm watching it. The players are super fast. Their hand speed is great. The movement. And so I think there's a real dilemma there on how you transfer that kind of live atmosphere.
Should Kleisters be trying to play pickleball or no?
I think she's pretty busy, man. She's got five kids living at her house. She has three of her own and then two that she has as a that are like foreign exchange students from Belgium who are basketball players. So she's a busy gal.
But you at least got some pro practice in with some people.
That was great. We got to play a lot of pickleball. The first day we did some clinics and a pro-am. I got to play with this dude, Kickball Dad. I was stoked though. Elvis Crespo was there. If you guys know who that is, he's
nope.
the guy. Suavemente. Great fucking song.
Oh, anyway, I know the song.
Yep. So, the Latin. The Latin. You know. See? You do know. So yeah, we got to play the pro-am there. And then the next day we played three matches. So it was hours, 5 to 6 hours straight of playing pickle. And then the following day they did like a semi and final.
And who was the best amateur celebrity there?
The guy who won it, Tyler, I don't know his last name. He's a bachelor guy. He played with Rohrbacher. He was good.
Who was your favorite celebrity, not player, just like who was the biggest celebrity there?
You would have to say, I'm not an MMA fan, but Pablo Tejas was going nuts about it. Cause I guess he's an MMA fan. Usman, some black dude. Like, I guess he was for 5 years. He was the champion and is like one of the best fighters of all time.
Usman. Yeah.
So he was there, looked like a stone cold killer. I was terrified.
Well, he is.
Yes, he fucking is.
They all are.
Correct. So he was there. And then, I mean, Crespo for me was cool because, you know, I
the Suavemente guy.
Yeah, it was like the only Latin song I knew up until 2 years ago.
All right. Cool.
Yeah. And so then at the same time, there was a conference Racket X that you went to, right?
Yeah.
What was that like?
So Racket X was very interesting. It was the first year that they've done it. Probably 50, 60 vendors in attendance. They had a couple makeshift pickleball courts, some for, you know, companies like Acrotech that are building courts. And then, you know, they had a waffle court. I was there with Engage. There was some padel court set up, kind of showcasing court builds and lighting and so forth. And then there was a lot of speaking. So they had a bunch of panels with various speakers discussing kind of the integration between padel, pickleball, tennis, how these all can coexist, the benefits of all of them, how to run leagues, technology. So it was pretty all-consuming. And I think it'll grow with time and has a bright future.
Did you play any padel while you were there?
I did not. I had the intention to try to play once. In fact, a friend of mine that I saw there who was a guy I was on the UCLA team with, Jean-Noel Grinda, I guess he goes by the name Nala Grinda now, he just opened up the facility there, X, which is a padel facility in Miami now, downtown. In fact, their first patrons were Rufus DeSole. So he posted like,
"Oh, really?
Not bad to have our first guys be, you know, this group." And I didn't even know this, but yeah, Jean-Noel's been in it for like 30 years.
Musician. Yeah.
And his family was like part of the start of padel, you know, I guess it was in Acapulco, Mexico, and they were like jet setters with a group of people. And so, you know, kind of a cool storyline. And, but no padel for me. Wanted to play with Josh one night, Josh Elliott with Engage, but just didn't work out.
Yeah. Man, I can't wait. You're putting padel in the facility, Graham?
Yeah.
It's exciting.
Yep. Two padel courts.
Oh.
Queens of the court.
Don't see that.
I don't have that in Pickler,
yeah,
though.
I was going to say, yeah.
Not yet. I'm sure they'll invent the
Graham
first.
Graham has never sent me a clip from anything. So when he sent me that, I was like, this pissed him off.
Well, I didn't watch. It's because I had people come up to me.
Of course,
I had people come here at Crescent saying, did you hear? And I'm like, oh, great. Now what?
You know, I watched it for a bit. I watched it for like a month. But then when I realized that there wasn't a lot of facts being stated and that it was just like a bought advertisement, I was like, fuck this shit. I want to hear the real deal.
Yeah. All right. So I guess like the big news this week in pro pickleball is all the players just dropping like flies for MLP.
Yeah.
I can list them if you want, and you guys want to react to some of these.
Yeah,
these,
maybe I forgot some too, Travis, if you can think of others. But
okay,
we've got the Brascia sisters, Matt Wright and Lucy, Julian and Lauren, the Georgia Five. I like that we call them Georgia Five now.
Of course.
Megan and Ryla, Suzanne Barr, Jill Braverman, and Bobby Oshiro. It's quite a lot. And myself, obviously. I announced that the other day.
Yeah, Luke couldn't work out his deal for, I don't know if you know this, but he was up for premiere. But he couldn't work out the deal for his traveling.
Yeah.
What was it? Your
traveling? My RV.
Your RV.
Yeah, right. They weren't willing to fund it.
He had signed with Vibe and he didn't agree to play with MLP. So he lawyered up and he's going after a better contract.
I'm making a firm stance.
Good thinking, Luke.
Way to play hardball, buddy.
Yeah. Yep.
So we're going to miss you.
You joke, but there's a guy in it called, his name is Ty Anderson from St. Petersburg. How I don't know any player in St. Petersburg possible, but he has signed up. He does not have a duper.
Oh, wow.
And he works for IMG, apparently.
Damn.
But we got to find Ty Anderson, a St. Petersburg pickleball player that's apparently MLP ready.
Got it.
Wow, that's crazy. So what's your guys' thoughts on all these players dropping out? Like, I mean, is it contract related or just like bad scheduling? Like, what's the deal?
I think it's a combination, right? I think they all have a different reasoning or different reasons. But I think part of it's contract negotiation. I think part of it is for... you know, like they know they're probably going to go challenger, And they have to play six events and they're not getting paid really anything for it. Yeah. They have other opportunities like with the APP. Right. I think four APP events overlap MLP events. So then they would miss out on those APPs where they probably have a good shot of winning prize money. And the prize money APP now, if you sign a contract with them, is 2X. So,
right.
You know, like Mari, I was talking, she said that she had a bronze and a silver and took home, you know, I think like $4,000 plus matching. She had, you know, like an $8,000 or $10,000 weekend at the APP getting bronze and silver, which is very attainable for some of these mid-level players.
Right.
And so I think a lot of them are thinking that too.
Yeah. Makes sense. Well, how do you feel as an owner with some of these players gone? Are these people that you know, you would expect?
I have a moment with some of them where I'm like, gosh, I wish they were in it because I like them as people.
Yeah, yeah.
For the league itself, I think it has zero effect.
Okay.
I think that no one's looking for them. No one's going to forget them or miss them. And they're easily filled in with 20 other players that want that spot and play right about at that same level.
Yeah.
That's my gut on it.
Got it. On the flip side, though, we got new players coming in to debut. And it says here in Premier, so these are people that are coming into the Premier section.
I'm guessing. I want to hear from Travis what he thinks. All right. Who's got a shot of kind of being like it's their, you know, their first peek into Premier.
Yeah. All right. Well, Jack Sock, which I feel like
that's a guarantee.
It's kind of a guarantee. Yeah. Augie.
I'm excited Jack Sock's playing because
That's right.
Okay,
my bad.
Go ahead, Jack.
I'm just excited Jack's playing because we didn't know if he was, and now he's in the draft, so he's definitely playing. It says six events, so he's in.
Yeah, that's awesome. So
you think Augie is definitely in? Or
no, I think, I mean, I don't know if Augie's definitely in, but I think he has a very, very good chance just based on his results early in the year.
Okay.
And you know you're getting a professional person. You know, I don't think he's going to be a problem for any team or, you know, late or behave poorly or anything like that. He's a good asset.
Will Howells?
Yeah, definitely has a chance. Has showcased himself more in singles lately, but, you know, obviously a very, very good athlete, really high upside. Seems like a really great kid. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him taking Premier.
Yeah. Here we go. Mari Hamburg, you think?
She's a lock, I think.
Oh, a lock.
I think so.
Oh, wow. I mean, I hope. We talked about it, you know, months ago. We said she's going to be in Premier within a year. It might be shorter than that. It might be three months.
Yeah, I think it's now. I think she's in.
You know what's funny? I've been watching Mari play recently after we had her on the pod. And I was looking to see if any guys really roped her after her return. And a lot of guys did struggle with it. Like, it was kind of interesting.
Who she played?
I think she was playing Frazier when I was last watching. And he had some trouble returning return of serve.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
It's kind of interesting.
I mean, with all due respect, Luke, I know you were up for Premier, but I'm not sure I trust your trained eye at this point.
You know, you'll eat those words,
Travis. Did you have trouble with her?
Oh, no problem at all. Yeah. I ripped the shit out of it.
So we're taking you over Dylan if you were in.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to tell you that, but I'm not, you know, I'm available.
Luke, please let me know what that keen eye says next.
He's watching a lot of film
I know
for
Ruben's
the ding.
Like headlining our draft now, so I need you guys in there telling me what's up. I have a lot of faith in fucking HR squared.
All right, Jack Monroe.
Definitely in the conversation. So I'm going to say 70% yes, 30% no.
But oh, that's higher than I thought.
I would be surprised if he didn't.
Wow. Okay. I made a good list here so far.
Yeah.
Travis would just crap all over these as usual.
Next one's, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right. Iwa Radzikowska.
She has to. She doesn't play as many events, I think, because she has, you know, alternate obligations. But every time she plays, she wins. You know, she's been awesome in MLP every time. And, you know, I don't think she necessarily gets the best partners when she plays PPAs and APPs, but she's obviously very, very good.
Mm. Why don't you try grabbing her then for some mixed events?
I'll give it a shot.
Huh. Do you like her? Have you talked with her?
I talked to her. She seems very sweet. What I do know is that she's really left side specialized because she's got this kind of nasty two-y. I don't think she plays very well on the right.
You need to be on the right anyways. This is perfect.
That's smart. Put me over there.
I've seen a new setup.
I have to move more to take the middle.
I didn't think about this. You and left-handed players playing mix on the right.
All right, final one on the list, Kwang Dong.
I would say out of all of them, that's the least likely. And not because he's not good enough, but I just don't think he's shown the results in doubles yet to warrant him being taken. But guy works his ass off. He's obviously probably a top five singles guy. And you know, again, I just don't know if he's had the results.
Have you seen his mixed game lately?
It looks good.
Okay.
His mixed game, I don't think is this year. I think it's men's, but again. That he could just be victim. Like every time that I've seen him play mixed, he hasn't had like a very high quality partner yet.
Yeah.
Same in men's. Like he's had okay.
Would he be a right side or left side men's player?
He'd be a left guy.
Yeah.
He's really good off the two-y with the dink.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, he might be victim to like, I just haven't had a good partner yet. He might be there. I just don't know.
Yeah.
That's the hard part about it.
Yeah. All right. I made a good list because he was the bottom of my list. He's the last guy. I almost in order.
You did a great job.
Okay, good.
Wow.
I'm spending a lot of time on this draft, so
yeah. Well, you also have all the real clear stats, so you're probably like analyzing all this data, right?
Yeah.
And what? How far recent does that those stats go? Is that just from previous MLP?
That's a problem. Yeah, previous MLP. So like November. Let's call it November of last year.
Right. So yeah, you have to make a judgment on all those players that have gotten better since then or 100%. Weren't playing. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Interesting. So the format we've got for the MLP draft for both Premier and Challenger is that they get $500,000 of league money or like MLP bucks, as it were, right?
Yeah.
And you're spending that on.
So not for Challenger. What? This is only Premier. So only Premier deals with money.
Yep.
So it's not that you're picking the player for money. You're picking the draft spot.
Right.
Right. So they're going to have basically a bidding war for the number one draft pick rather than just like how we do it in Challenger, where it's a lottery and we got the 7th overall pick in our lottery.
Yep.
They don't have a position.
Right.
So they're paying for that position.
Yep.
And they're calling it MLP units, but.
Right.
It's 500,000 of league money, and then it's up to $500,000 of team money, of their own money they can spend above and beyond that.
And then if they tie, they go into a separate room to then bid their own money to take the position, I believe.
If there's correct.
Yeah. And then that has no cap, I believe, on how much they spend.
It's still, so how it works is you have a max of $1 million to spend for the entire draft, all four picks. And you have to make sure you have some minimum amount of money left to pick your third and fourth pick. Like you can't spend all $1 million on the first overall pick. You have to leave like $30,000 in the pot, more than that.
I understand that.
Buy other players in the second round.
There's a certain part of it that has no cap that you can go. After.
You may know more than me, Luke.
Yeah.
Little insider information from the dink, but I'm not aware of that.
Yeah, I believe that once you get into that breakout room where you're like,
wow, interesting.
There's no cap on that. You can just go up and up.
Do you think that that's going to like happen, Travis? Are they going to like, are people going to bid over $1 million to get a first round pick?
Wouldn't surprise me.
Really?
Wouldn't surprise me.
You see a team going into a private room and saying, I'll pick $2 million for the number one overall pick.
I mean, listen, man, a lot of these guys got a lot of money. They're competitive people. It wouldn't surprise me.
Damn.
Interesting. All right. So for Challenger, then you do have a draft position, which is for 7 for Florida Smash. Is that
7th overall. Yep.
A snake draft.
Snake draft. So we're like 7, 18, whatever, 37, 46.
Yeah. And what are you going to, what's your draft strategy, Graham? Are you going to go female?
Definitely not talking about that. But I finally got everything together, and then hopefully I get Travis's time over the next couple of days to talk about this actual strategy so he can tear it apart and tell me it's stupid and figure out who we're going to actually draft.
Ruben knows 4 potential Challenger players.
He didn't know any.
Exactly.
0.
So I'm going to be a little suspicious right away.
He's not really looking at the players. He was looking more at
the numbers.
Stats and strategies,
Of course. No, I'm sure he's added a value and look.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah. So yeah. I'm still going to give him shit that he doesn't know anything about it.
It's true. He'll be like, this is probably exaggeration, but who's Ben John? You know, like Ben Johns, where would he? And I'm like, he's not going Challenger, man. Don't worry.
What about
Connor Garnett? I'm like, you're not going to worry about Connor Garnett. Stop thinking about Connor Garnett.
I would dare Ruben to name at least 3 Challenger players.
Well, now he probably
now
can.
He can. Now
before
he
this, no way, right. 0.
That's so funny.
He could name 0.
Yeah. All right.
Which might be a good thing.
So you're paying $20,000 out of pocket for non-signed players. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So there's 114, I think, signed players in the draft, Travis being one of them. And I think there's 141 unsigned players in the draft.
Okay.
So of those 141 players, which most of those are going to be Challenger. I think it's probably about maybe 10 that'll go, maybe peak at Premier. But of the Challenger unsigned players, in order to pick them up on your team, you have to pay $20,000, which half of that, I believe, goes to the league. The other half goes to the actual player.
Sounds right.
Yep.
Yeah. So there's some thought there. I don't think it's going to keep people from picking someone. It's not a large amount.
Yeah.
Like if we wanted, I'm trying to think who would be a good example of that. I think like Augie Gee is an example. If Augie Gee is available, we really want Augie Gee. We're going to spend the $20,000 to get Augie Gee.
Yeah. Are there any non-signed players that are worth $20,000 to you?
Yes, there's tons.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's probably, honestly, on like our draft board, it's probably 30% of the people on the draft board.
Wow.
30 to 40%, especially Challenger, because a lot of those signed contracted players are all going Premier.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, makes sense. Yeah.
48 of the 114. So it's like, it's a big chunk.
Interesting. Is that mostly on the men's side or the women's side?
It's mostly, what do you mean? Unsigned like, players that are going to go Challenger?
Yeah.
Well, women, just because there's less women in general.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
But there are definitely some men. Like Augie is a great example. I'm trying to think offhand who other unsigned that are good. There's several good male and female players that may even go Premier that are unsigned.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wild.
Mari's a great example.
She's unsigned?
Mari's unsigned.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, she took a buyout.
All the people that just dropped out were unsigned.
Right.
Megan, Ryler, Susanna. Those were all people we would have easily paid $20,000
to have. Yeah. It's going to be interesting. How do you think all of this is going to affect the overall season? Like, do you think we're going to see funky teams or we're going to see like a disparity in like the quality of the players or?
No, I think there's enough good players now. You're going to see a level increase, not a level decrease from last year.
I completely agree. And not only that, it feels more organized and the teams are more knowledgeable. So the teams are going to be stronger than, I think the level is going to be a large increase over last year.
Yeah.
What about, does location make a difference to you?
Like where they live?
Yeah, for like practice and stuff like that. I mean, the team's going to be, people are spending so much money to do this stuff. So they're going to put more effort into getting the teams together.
They're not
going
to be able to.
No.
Players don't have time. I'm telling you, a lot of these guys are. I mean, let's take this month for example. Let's just say in theory, you wanted to practice for the Atlanta event. This month, there's four PPA events. Guys are coming home for 2 days.
There's four PPA events. Yes. What are the four?
Starts with North Carolina, then it goes Houston, LA, St. George.
All in April.
Back to back to back to back.
Are you going four all four? Months.
I can't do St. George. I'm doing the three.
Smart move. I wouldn't be able to do St. George either.
I couldn't do it. Yeah, I don't want to do it again. I mean, I played well there last year with Kohler. I enjoyed it. And then, you know, that's where the paddle gate happened with Tyson. But I liked it. It's just scheduling wise with my daughter, I couldn't make that work.
Mm. Right.
Yeah.
My answer on that is there's so many factors. That's a factor that's really far down the list.
Yeah.
If there's 12 factors, it's number 11 or 12.
Wow. Okay.
Variables for drafting.
Got it. All right. So I love that this one's preface conspiracy theory alert. Some sort of splinter off league. Tell us about that.
I didn't even read
that,
it. I saw this conspiracy theory on the thing and I was like, I'm not reading it.
All right. Just a thought. All these unsigned players that are no longer in the draft that are good players splinter off and try to start their own league.
Next one, Luke.
Okay.
No, I do not think that's possible.
Right.
It's a nice idea. Unless one of them's just got some
head up by Joe Braverman. You can't see her just taking the reins and starting a Naples team event.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm trying.
Exactly.
I like the effort. I like the effort. I saw that the PPA was streaming the PPA Australia this weekend. Did you watch any of that?
I did not.
I didn't either. I know Wes Gabrielson was there. I know.
Have you played him before?
I played him before. I know Amelia Schmidt was there. We got our eyes on her. I probably should watch some of that footage. Did you watch her play at all?
I don't remember if she was playing or not. I watched, it was Hargraves and then some other people. I don't remember.
Were you watching really the fake Smash play?
No, it was just straight PPA. It's not MLP.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting.
How about this though? We got to talk APP Miami really quick. The guy of the weekend, right? Who's the guy of the weekend at APP Miami?
Oh, I know. I didn't want to mention him because I've got him high on the list.
Oh, okay.
Purple Jesus.
The Purple Jesus.
Purple Jesus Matthau.
He played with Eric Lang.
Wait, what? No, tell us about it. What?
Okay, so there was a guy in the draw that I thought was like a joke because I looked at the draw early and there was a guy signed up as Purple Jesus Machau or something like
Matthau,
that.
Matthau, I think.
Matthau. And I'm like, I need to see this fucking guy. Turns out he's good. He and Eric Lang beat Tardio and Daescu in dubs.
Wow.
And he's like early 30s, plays intermittently. Eric's trying to get him to play more because I guess he's from Pacific Northwest. And the only picture I saw of him looks like this hyper athletic gazelle flying through the air for an Ernie. And I was like, this guy's the purple fucking Jesus.
Purple Jesus.
Wow. You know?
He made a splash for sure.
He made a splash. And then there were some weird results. Like Fad beat JW in singles. JW went 0-2 in singles. He lost to who next? Like Michael Lloyd, I think, second in the bash draw.
Michael Lloyd,
and then your boy Spencer Lanier beat him. So Graham's got a win over the guy that beat the guy that beat JW.
Wow. How does that make you feel, Graham?
I kind of knew it. Yeah. It's like you.
Yeah.
Are you, I'm in contract negotiations.
I was going to say, you
won. Definitely.
That one worked.
Wait, we'll never.
Your draft stock went up a lot.
We'll never figure out my contract.
That's amazing. Yeah. I forgot about the APP Miami. Yeah. That was wild.
And then JW and Dylan ended up winning it. So,
Yeah. And one of our buddies, Crescent Lake guys, got 5-0 singles.
Yeah. Goal. Fucking Varun.
Yeah.
Won 5-0 singles. Apparently, injured the Achilles early and then went dummy.
Yeah.
And Grayson.
Grayson Golden made semis?
Grayson Golden. No, he made finals.
Oh, he made finals. That's right.
He lost to Hunter?
Yes.
He lost to Hunter in the finals. Wow. Another local.
It's crazy.
He's local, right?
Yeah, he's local. He went to IMG. He was a good tennis player. Super athletic. Hits the shit out of the forehand and the serve.
He's in the draft.
He's in the draft. I don't know what his double skill is. Like, maybe it's improving, but he's certainly a very, very good singles player.
All right. So we've got our first event, Atlanta, May 9th through 12th at Lifetime. Just that really nice facility, right?
Yeah.
And then are these a list of MLP ones? DC, June, and then Grand Rapids.
Yeah, those are all the first three MLP events. And how it's working for, I know for Atlanta and DC, is they're bringing 12 teams, 6 Premier, 6 Challenger to each event. And so I know that the Florida Smash will be at Atlanta, and then they will be at DC for those dates. And then all 24 teams play a mid-season in-tournament competition or tournament competition, and that's in Grand Rapids in July.
Yeah, got it.
So Travis will be at that. Travis and I will both be at that one, depending on where Travis gets picked up, which I'm sure we're going to talk about. Hopefully he'll be at Atlanta and DC too.
All right, well, yeah, let's talk about it then. So are we worried that he's not going to get picked up in Premier or what?
I'm not worried about it again. I think he's definitely going Premier. And I actually like it. I keep thinking about this. How awesome is it that you're probably a fourth round pick every time because you're going to be on a good team?
Yeah, I mean, I think I haven't played great this year for a variety of reasons, but historically, especially with a real clear stats, I should be okay.
Yeah. Do you know if any other teams support the stats? You think?
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, a lot of them.
Oh okay.
Yeah.
Especially again, predicated on like what the Hard Eights did. You got to think, shit, this has merit. And again, that's the hard part always, I think, about PPAs and so forth. Is one, maybe some people aren't built for the MLP structure, and then you never know, like, who has good partners? How did the partner play?
Yeah.
Those are, you know, how are their draws? There's factors that are in there.
Yeah. Even if they didn't buy the stats, I think that Travis has said it often enough, they know he was high up on it.
Mm. I was second, actually. Second and third, I always ranked. I never dropped below three,
though. You should just read the stats straight across. I had a 600% winning percentage. I had a player impact of 2.
That's where I really thrive. It's in the player impact. I impact the shit out of things.
That's amazing. So, is there a team that you would you'd like to play on, Travis?
What's your perfect team?
Yeah, what's your perfect team?
Oh, like as far as players?
Yeah, like you had 3 other people, 2 women and 1 man. Who is it? Like you put a team together in Premier.
I put Rohrbacher or Bright top of the list.
Together?
Fuck, that's impossible. But either one of them is
I think it's going to happen. I think Orlando's one's going to come out of pocket to grab Orlando Squeeze again.
They might.
That's the one that's going to spend the money.
They might. But I don't think you can get both of them because they're going to pay... They're going to both go so early.
That they're going to cost close to the max.
Yeah.
To get.
Yes. I mean, obviously, Anna more so than Rachel just because she showcased that more. But Rachel's obviously on the way up. And, you know, they're both very good at singles as well. Really, really good team players. So if I could have any team, it would probably be like, you know, Ben and Anna Lee. Not Ben and Anna Lee. Ben and Anna Bright or Rachel Rohrbacher. And then, you know, throw in a Daescu or throw in a...
He basically wants to play for the Orlando Squeeze.
I basically want to, right. Well, I mean, look at their team. First of all, it looked like they had the most fun. And they were all super supportive of one another. It was a fucking awesome team. Like, they did a great job. They picked not only on play and performance, but they picked on quality of people.
That was supposed to be you. You were the Daysky spot. So,
no, I was the Zane spot.
Or the Zane spot. So shout out, if Zane and them go too early and Travis is around in fourth round, you need that second male for the squeeze.
I think they had an issue with me being like a Florida Smash owner, which was the...
Well, that's Challenger now, so that shouldn't affect them in any way. You're not going to throw matches in Premier.
I wouldn't throw matches no matter what.
Right, to help.
In fact, the idea that I could just beat Graham in anything is fantastic enough. There's no price to put on that.
Wow. Cool. All right, so when is the draft? How many weeks is it this week?
Yeah, it's the April 2nd, okay. Which is this Premier. Tuesday. It'll probably happen before this pod gets
right.
out.
Okay. All right, where are you going to do it?
And we're the third. It's remote. I'm going to do it from here. Travis will be in North Carolina, so I'm hoping he's not playing.
We could do it on the courts. That would be great.
I'm hoping he's not playing, so that way he can actually be in the draft itself.
I'd like that. I think that's unlikely, though. It's a long day, that first Wednesday. Play three matches.
Mm.
Yeah, it's progressive draw in North Carolina this coming week.
Right.
Interesting. Which means Travis is playing singles.
Really?
I am.
Let's go.
Wow, finally back. How are you feeling? You think you're ready for singles again?
Ready as I'm going to be.
He says despondently.
Come on, we're trying to get you on the Orlando squeeze. Are you ready for singles or what,
I'm
man?
I'm fucking psyched.
Yeah.
Now we're talking. Go. You want to be part of that team chemistry or what?
No, I actually get to play a buddy of mine, I think first round, Ryan Eveloff, who's a very good singles player. So I'm excited about it.
Great.
We're actually filming, so we'll get to see your game and give you some pointers.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's it. I think that's what we got. Yeah, that's it, guys.
Oh, fucking tennis sucks. Sorry.
But right now, tennis sucks-ish.
Yeah. It's getting better. Please, give us a decent name so we can figure out if it's...
Yeah, serious suggestions only.
I'd like some non-serious suggestions.
Here we go. Great. Well, make them based on Luke and Travis then, please.
Yeah. Look at this guy.
I take enough crap in my actual life. I don't need it on the app, on social media.
That's funny. All right, thanks, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
Bye, guys.